Amen. Well, children, I want you to imagine that this is a door to heaven. And God is standing at the door, and because it's God's home, he gets to decide who goes through. And each of us, one by one, goes up to God. What would you say? What would you say? Please, God, let me into heaven because. Well, here's a little video clip just to get us all thinking about that. Sorry, am I supposed to click that one? Maybe I am.
If God were to say to you, "Why should I give you eternal life?" what would you say?
From our Christianity Explored course that we're doing on Thursdays. What would be on your bit of paper? Please, God, let me into heaven because I go to church. I try to be good. Now, adults, and verses 3 and 4 of this passage put this in terms of confidence. If you can see down there, I hope you can see a Bible. What is your confidence before God? And that is a question we all need to ask, whether this is the first ever time we've been in this church, or whether we're old timers. It's incredibly serious. This passage says lots of people get the answer wrong. Even for a church, so Philippi was a church that was doing really well. Well, actually, they need to revisit this question because verse 1, it's a safeguard. What's your confidence before God? Well, option 1, as we look down at verse 2, is religious badges. Religious badges. Just a bit of background if you're completely new. This was a letter written by the Apostle Paul. He started this church in Philippi, but then suddenly some false teachers have sort of snuck in. Okay, so they've snuck in. And do you know what they were teaching? They were teaching that you needed Jesus, okay, but you also needed some special religious badges. Does that sound right? No. Okay, so you need Jesus, but you also need some things like circumcision and keeping Jewish laws and various things like that. And if you didn't do those things, you were evil and on the outside. And they called people on the outside dogs. And what we need to know is in that culture, okay, you didn't keep your dog inside like Matt and Charlie have Bosch in their bed. Did you know that? Bosch actually goes in their bed. But in that culture, you had dogs outside. So anyway, what's going on is the false teachers have snuck into this church and they're teaching false things. And Paul says, well, you know, it's just a matter of opinion, just a different interpretation. No, verse 2. Children, he says, watch out! Watch out for them. And he says something very rude because this is so very serious. He says, they're dogs. Okay, they think they're on the inside, but they're actually on the outside. They're the evildoers, these mutilators of the flesh. They've got it all wrong. For it is we who are the circumcision. We're on the inside. We're the ones who really serve God correctly. Now, what have these false teachers got so wrong? Well, here's what I think they've got wrong. They think the church is like cubs. They think the church is like cubs. Now, there's nothing wrong with cubs. I used to love it. This is my jumper that we found in the special box, didn't we? And actually, just put your hand up if you're involved in Scouts or Cubs or something like that. There's quite a lot of folk who had that. And the thing that we loved about it is you've got all these badges, and say, do you want to guess what some of these badges are? What did I get a badge for, do you think? Charlie, what do you think? As a swimming badge? Yeah, because all by myself, I could do 5 lengths or something. So I got a swimming badge. What badge can you see, Lydia? There's a running badge there. There's 2 running badges. Maybe I ran twice. A swimming badge. I've got a chess badge here. All by myself, I beat someone at chess, and so I get a chess badge. And Cubs is great. Okay, but church is not Cubs. And I want you to imagine that instead of a swimming badge or a kind of chest badge or something like that, that actually as we came along before God, we got religious badges. Do you think that's the right way to do it with God? To try and get special badges to impress him? Things that we could show off before God, that we're better than other people and we deserve to go to heaven. Now, it doesn't work like that, does it? Does it work like that? No. Paul knows it doesn't work like that, but he imagines for a moment it does. So have a look down at verse 4. He's messing around, and he says, verse 4, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, to understand what that means, you just take off the F and flip it round. It's the self, not the F. Yeah, you swap it round. It's to put confidence in the self. I have more. So what Paul's saying there really is, I've got a load of religious badges. I've got more than any of you. Circumcision badge. Yep, on the eighth day. I haven't got one of those. The spiritual family badge of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's fully kosher. Education badge. He's a Pharisee. He knows his Bible better than anyone else. Zeal badge, persecuting the church. Starts to sound ridiculous, doesn't it? Keeping the rules badge, 10 out of 10, at least on the outside, legalistically. Well, that's Paul. What about us? What badges might we actually end up bringing into church? Or adults, another way of thinking about that would be, what would be on your spiritual CV? You come before God. Please, God, let me into heaven because. Baptized. Had a Thanksgiving. Family. A keen Christian home. Perhaps some of us are tab people of tab people. Education. I know my Bible well. I went to Bible college. Zeal. I've been on a mission. I serve on the Sunday school. I'm a pastor. Rule keeping. I've never been drunk. I don't swear. I try never to do wrong to anyone else. Now it could be there's somebody here who says, actually, I haven't got any of those badges, but I've got a better badge than those because I didn't have the Christian home thing. I've got the most improved badge because as an adult, God totally changed my life around, and that's my confidence. Rule keeping. And badges. Now, friends, this is so natural for us, isn't it? It's so natural. And it's where false religion always ends up. And all distortions of Christianity, whether it's Mormons or JWs or Christadelphians or this Jewish group that had snuck into Philippi, it always ends up with religious badges. I've done this. I'm like that. You need to do this if you're going to fit in. And crucially, here's the issue. The issue isn't that I go to church regularly. That's not the issue. The issue is, this is where my confidence lies. Please, God, let me into heaven because of my religious badges. Well, we can all do that. And it's proud and self-righteous. It lacks any joy. Paul was doing all of these religious things, but he didn't actually really know God back then or love him. It's tiring. Martin Luther was a Catholic monk. When he was a Catholic monk, he couldn't sleep at night because he never thought he'd done enough. I haven't got enough badges. And above all, it's just wrong and deluded. Because, well, children, think about it like this. If what I was actually like on the inside could be painted all over my T-shirt, what do you think it'd be like? What do you think it'd be like if all of my yucky thoughts on the inside and all the sort of mean things, if that could be sprayed all over here, what would it be like? Would it be impressive? Well, every children's talk I have so far, I seem to always bring some mud. So would you like to help me and just do a bit of painting for me? Okay, I want you to do some painting of mud. Who can paint some mud? Charlie, go on. These guys, by the way, just they're digging in the mud from our house to each other's houses. So they've got some big holes. They play with mud a lot. Keep painting. I think my life would look muckier than that. Bit more. Go on, Ralph. Ralph's go. Let's paint the jumper. Oh, more. Come on. Here we are. Let's let Lydia have a quick go. Go on, lads. There you are. Okay, yucky, yucky, yucky mud. Tabs, you have a quick go then. One more. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. Thank you. Now, can you sit back for a moment? Now, imagine that I turned up before God with this, and I said, please, God, let me into heaven because of my religious badges. What do you think God's going to say? Well, I think, first of all, he might say, well, actually, Barnaby, you don't really deserve these badges because your prayers, well, they were often just mixed in with, I don't know, with just trying to impress people. And your preaching was, often muddled with a bit of pride in there. And your church going, well, you weren't always just coming to church out of love for me, were you? But above all, Barnaby, what about the mess of sin all over your life? You can't just impress me and try and cover over that with a little bit of religious badges. Doesn't work like that. So, this is the way that all religion tends to go, isn't it? And it doesn't work before God. Religious badges. And the message of this passage is, therefore, we put no confidence in these things. Instead, we're going to put our confidence in Jesus' righteousness. Now, at this point, I think the children have been concentrating quite hard. And did you know that your brain is actually a muscle? So it needs feeding if you're thinking hard. And so I just thought perhaps we might just have one quick biscuit just to keep us thinking. Okay. Now have a look at verse 9 with me. Verse 9. Paul says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, from trying really hard, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God. Now, Jesus is the only person who ever lived a truly righteous life. Not just badges, but his whole jumper, children, would have been absolutely dazzling. Can you see that gold t-shirt up there? Absolutely dazzling. Not a stain of sin or selfishness, of greed or grumbling, of lies or lust, of belittling or bullying, but beautiful, with truth, even when it cost Jesus everything. Joy in relationship with God, brave in the face of hardship, loyalty to every last thing that God had said in the Bible, forgiving even those who killed him, brimming with love, so that people flocked to him, didn't they? Whether children or outcasts or the desperate, and kindness and compassion and goodness and patience just shone out of him. If you've never read the life of Jesus, by the way, please would you, I've got a couple of copies I could give you at the door. And you think, well, I live an okay life. And then you start to look at Jesus and you say, that is righteousness. It's glorious. And I never get anywhere near to that with my badges. Jesus alone could stand before God and say, I'm righteous, so please let me into heaven. Well, now, just have a look down at verse 9 again. And boys, I'd really like you to leave that alone, if that's okay. Thank you. If you need to go back to mum and dad, then please leave. Otherwise, do you think you can sit up? Okay. Let's all have a look back at verse 9. Let's have a look back at verse 9. Not having a righteousness of my own. That doesn't work. But that which comes through faith in Christ. In other words, trusting Jesus, having faith, I get that. I get Jesus' righteousness. How? Well, on the cross, when Jesus died, there was a swap. So that he took my dirty, filthy life. And he went to hell and judgment for me. He took it. But the second part of the swap was that we get Jesus' righteous, beautiful, shining life. And I get to wear his jumper. So children, as you as you turn up, at the beginning of verse 9, adults, you can see there, it says, I'm found in him. So children, as we turn up at the door of heaven, we say, please God, you know, let me into heaven because, not because I deserve it, not because I've been good, not because of any of my badges. Please God, let me into heaven because of Jesus. And I'm wearing his jumper. Jesus is my only confidence. Now, do you know what that means? It means that whoever we are, whatever we've done, we can stand before God, we trusted Jesus, and we can be treated by God as if we'd lived the sparkling, magnificent, perfect life. Now, can I ask you, if you're not a Christian here today, what would stop you doing that? Of saying, Lord Jesus, please take my sin and my life, and please give me your life and heaven. What would stop you doing that? And children, have you done that? Have you given Jesus your yucky life? And said, can you take it? And then, please, can I have your sparkling life? Now, as we do that, we find four magnificent things, okay? And I just want to finish with these. Freedom, confidence, joy, and love. Firstly, freedom. Because what we get to do, really, is we get to throw our badges. I didn't bring a bin. We get to throw our badges in the bin. And that is what you see the Apostle Paul doing in verse, I think it's verse 7. What does he say? Whatever were gains for me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And he goes on, I consider them rubbish, or if you've got an American translation, garbage. So Paul takes all his religious badges, and he'd done more than anyone else, and he throws them in the bin. Everything he used to boast about before other people or before God, chucked away. Being an elder, being good at Bible verses, having led someone to Christ, sounding fluent when we pray, having a good moral record. And he says, I will not put my confidence in that anymore. The only thing that is going for me before God is Jesus. My only real confidence is him. I'm going to let other people worry about status and roles and all these other things. Well, I'm free. Free from slaving to prove myself, from competing with others. There's freedom. Second, confidence. Now, I wonder, if this really was the door to heaven and I invited you to come up and walk over, well, how would you feel? How would you feel? Some of us really lack confidence in life in general, maybe social confidence, actually, to go and talk to anyone. Maybe confidence to put yourself forward. Maybe you've been knocked down many times in life. You know, God wants us to have wonderful confidence, the confidence of a child strolling into their own house as we approach him. Whatever your personality, because before God, it doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on you at all, but on Jesus. And so we can have absolute confidence. And some of us are facing real health issues, aren't we? But we can have absolute confidence even in the face of whatever and eternity. Third, joy. Verse 1 starts the passage. Rejoice in the Lord. If you look on to chapter 4, verse 1, you see that's the theme of the whole chunk. It's all about joy. Now, what do you think God actually, as he looks at us today, what do you think God looks like? I've got a few faces for you. Who can tell me what you think this face is? Sad. Angry. Maybe some people think, well, actually, God's angry with us today. What about this face? Sad. Anyone got a different word for that?
Grumpy.
Maybe disappointed. And some of us might have said, well, you know, God knows that I'm not a very good Christian. And I'm a disappointed, I'm a sort of B-class. Maybe that's how some of us feel today. Okay, what about this one? Have a look at this face. What do you think this one is? Confused, middle. It's kind of sometimes happy, sometimes sad. So, you know, if we have a good day, well, maybe God's really, really, you know, then he gives us a real, real, real happy face. What about this one? Just sort of plain. So that God has forgiven us our sins, but maybe he's just looking on us to see, well, actually, can you do anything that could ever really, you know, make me delighted with you? And some of us may have had human fathers who've been like that with us, one of these faces. But God, our Heavenly Father, he looks at you and I as we're wearing Jesus' sparkling jumper. And he looks at us like this. And he's beaming. And he's delighted with us. Delighted is a great word, isn't it? Do you remember God the Father looking on his son Jesus at the baptism? And he tears heaven open because he can't contain himself. And he says, "This is my son whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased." God feels like that. He feels delighted. He feels delighted with us like that. "You're my daughter. You're my son. I'm well pleased with you." Well, do you know that joy? Rejoice in the Lord. Final. Love. Religious badges don't really produce love towards God, only duty. You know, what do I need to do to get the next badge? Okay, all right, God. Jesus' rescue in Jesus. God's rescue in Jesus produces love. Verse 10. Have a look at verse 10. Now, Paul's not saying, what do I have to do? He says, "I want to know Christ. And I want to follow wherever that leads and whatever it costs. I love Jesus." And for those of us who've heard this message many times before, well, is it producing that sort of thing in us? Now, do you see why this passage is so strong? That Paul is so strong against anyone who would rob a little church of this truth of the gospel that brings freedom, confidence, joy, and love, and just replace it with a bunch of badges. He will not have that. Let me pray. God, our Father, I just pray for the fruit of this message in our lives today. For confidence, for joy in your face smiling on each of us. For freedom. Maybe some of us are actually just holding on proudly to some religious boast or badge, and we let go today. And love, that each one of us might want to say, "I want to know Christ better." We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.